Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Team, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
last lesson, the last outline, finished up the previous one that we were doing with the armor and standing strong in the armor. But we want to go over once again the one we didn't complete. In fact, we are able to complete it now, tonight. So we're going to go back. We're going to back up and go back into that because there's still a need for workers in the kingdom. And we need to understand the need for workers in the kingdom. Amen. So we have going to do the death. Now listen, I just said we're not going back into that one. We're going back into our previous one, the greatest need. You might not have but just write your information on those other sheets. That's a good thing when we listen to it. Amen. You learn a whole lot. Just listen. We're going back. We're supposed to go to a new lesson tonight, but I completely forgot about it. But we didn't finish the greatest need. So we're going to go back to that. I'm going to the third outline. Why we all need to be personal workers. And all of you just take notes. It would be good if you could just take some notes.
Amen.
Amen. That'll help you become a better steward.
Amen.
Let's see. And I want the Lord has for us. So welcome our audience via Blog Talk Radio broadcast, Wonders Word broadcast tonight. Thank them for tuning in. We thank God for those tuning in on Facebook Live. We thank God for those, and we thank God for you tonight that are here on campus as we go and deal with workers needed in the kingdom. And why it has to be personal, why we need to be personal workers. A lot of times we need to take things personal when it comes to the kingdom. And the reason why we need to take a lot of things personal is because of what he's done for us individually. So when we're doing some work, we need to make that a personal thing for him. We're going to Matthew chapter number 28. Very familiar passage of scripture. Why we all need to be personal workers in the kingdom, Matthew chapter number 28. And one of the reasons is to fulfill the command of Christ. We need to be personal workers to fulfill the command of Christ. Because Jesus commanded that disciples be made. Amen. He commanded that disciples be made. And that's one reason why we ought to take this personal. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. Let's see what it says from the New Living Translation, in which I will be reading from. Therefore, it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That is a command to us as his followers to go out and to make other disciples. That's why we got to make some things personal. Disciples who be taught to observe what he commanded. Then there's a job for us. Teach them to observe what's been commanded. Verse number 20. Teach these new disciples to what? Obey all commands that I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even until the end of the age of the world. He just gave the command to make disciples. If he has given us a command to make disciples, we're supposed to follow the command. Amen. Now, if we're not doing what he's commanded us to do, we are being disobedient to the command. And when you're disobedient to a command, there are some repercussions of it. Amen. When I was in the military, They gave us a command, and I was supposed to move out or do that command that he's given me. And if I didn't do it, then I would have to suffer the consequences. Y'all ain't talking. If I disobeyed the command, that put me in a position to get in trouble, to be reprimanded, to be disciplined. So if we're not following the command of Christ, what does that do for us? Put us in position to be what? Disciplined, reprimanded, dealt with, as folks say. We suffer the consequences. We are to carry out the command in which he has given us. He's given it to us plainly. Go and make disciples. And that's not a hard command to do. It's really not hard to do. But we got to make this thing personal. The Great Commission is not fulfilled until we are making disciples. We're not fulfilling this command until we're doing what we've been commanded to do, until we are making disciples. We need more people to take this thing personal in the kingdom of God. What is it that we want to see? How is it that we want to see the kingdom? That should be the question that we ask ourselves. As an individual, what is it? How is it that I want to see the kingdom? How do I want to see the kingdom in the next month? Matter of fact, how do I want to see the kingdom in the next day? In the next week? How do I want to see it? If I don't want to see anything, if I don't want to see it prosper or any progression, guess what? I won't do a thing. Because I don't want to see it grow. I don't want to see it build. So I won't do anything. But if I want to see growth, if I want to see prosperity, if I want to see increase in the kingdom, guess what? I'm going to take this thing personally. And I myself will do something about it. Because there's a love in it for me in my heart, for me to see God's kingdom prosper. How is it? We got to make this thing. We got to take it personal. We need personal workers, because if the commission is not, it will not be fulfilled until we are doing what we've been commanded to do. Not just for our gain, and sometimes people just want to do something for their own gain. And it's not for our gain, but it's for the kingdom of God. To show our love for others, we need personal workers to fulfill the command of Christ and to show our love for others. Love for others. It was the second greatest command of the Old Testament. Go to Matthew chapter number 22, verse 39. Matthew 22 and 39. The second greatest command, the Old Testament. Matthew 22, 39. Go to verse 37. Start with 37. I'm going to go back up to verse 34. Let me walk it on down for you so you can catch it and understand. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law. You always going to have somebody that think they know it all, they got it all. That think they got it all together. They had an expert in religious law that tried to trap him with this question. Because there's some folks that know a whole lot of things. It's folk that know more about the law than we know about the law, more about things than we know about things. And they will do whatever it is to try to trap you. But the question was, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Which one is the most important? Huh? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Come on now, look what he says. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's equally important. Mm. When you try to trap somebody, you got to know some word. Mm. Jesus looked at him and said, I'm just going to give it to you like this. This is the first and greatest command, that you love the God, you love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first greatest command. The second one is just as equal. Huh? Love covers a multitude of sins. Love it goes spread beyond. It's an equal thing. Not only must you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, but love your neighbor as yourself. You got to, that love still has to be shown. There's no division in love. Come on, he said it's just as equal. You got to love your neighbor just like you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Are you here? Are you with me? It's just as important to love one another. We got to have love for others. Love for one another is debt that can never be fully paid. It's a debt that can't be fully paid. Love, Romans 13, I'm telling you, this thing called love is very strong. Mm-hmm. And we are supposed to love one another. As a body of baptized believers, a body of Christ, as children of God, we should be loving on one another. Let me say that again. As children of God, as a body of baptized believers, we should be loving one another, not hating on one another, not trying to tear somebody else down, not trying to mess somebody up. We should be loving one another. Come on, why are you going to go lie on your brother and sister? That's not love. Why are you going to try to put your brother and sister down? Why are you going to try to make them look bad and make yourself look like you're so holy? That's not love. And if truth be told, folks can see right between that. They see that you're not the holy one, because if you're holy, you wouldn't be trying to put somebody else down. Hmm? If you say you're holy, I'm holy, I got the Holy Ghost. No, let it use it. Mm-hmm. And you got it, but you got it locked up. Mm-hmm. You ought to let it do what it's supposed to do. You let it show. If you got it, let it show. We got it up. Romans 13, verse number 8. Mm-hmm. This is funny, because it's going to take me back to what I just told you. You know, and I look at God. And folk talk about, you know, after 7 years, I don't know you nothing, the Bible says.
All right, sister.
After 7 years. Good God. Well, look at this. Let me see. Let me see where I want to start off here, because this is amazing. This is amazing. Go to verse number 6. Go to verse number 6. Romans 13. Pay your taxes too. For these same reasons. For the government workers need to be paid. Government workers need to be paid. So pay your taxes. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. See, folks forget this part. People just gonna rip this part of the Bible out. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Yeah, we just throw this part out of the Bible. We don't look at this part. Give respect and honor to those who are in authority. See, we have a place where folks are so disrespectful. Come on, to authority in the kingdom of God. It's just crazy how disrespectful people are. And they don't mind being disrespectful. They don't mind being disrespectful to authority. Come on, they don't even honor authority. So what makes you think they don't respect it? They will cuss you out right in the sanctuary. They don't want to fight you, want to do whatever, right in the house of God. They don't even respect God, so what makes you think they don't respect you? But the word of God is telling us we ought to respect and honor those in authority. We say we are body of baptized believers. We love the Lord. We say all of this here, but then our actions show differently that we really aren't who we say we are. Look at verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone. Say that again. Owe nothing to anyone. Except for your obligation to love one another. What you owe your obligation to love. Don't owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. Because if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. God has put this in his law, God's law, to love one another, love our neighbors. You are obligated to love. Let me say that again. You are obligated to love one another. I don't care how nasty the attitude is. You are obligated to love one another. It doesn't matter how nasty they are. Because you do know people are some nasty people. They're a nasty folk. Because of what? Nasty because of the flesh. And they're not allowing what they say they got to control or take charge. But allowing this flesh man to take charge. That's why when this flesh man take charge, your feelings come out. Your attitude come out. When you allow this flesh man to take charge. You see the hatred when you allow the flesh man to take charge. That's why we can't get along with one another, because we're allowing the flesh man to take charge. But if we allow the spirit man to come in and overtake the flesh, then when somebody do us wrong, we'll still be able to love on them. Because the spirit man now is in control. Come on, we'll still be able to work together. Y'all ain't talking. We'll still be able to walk together. We'll still be able to worship together. We will still be able to do work in the kingdom together when we allow the spirit man to overtake, because we understand this is a spiritual warfare. And it's warring against the flesh and the spirit. So if we're more in the flesh, guess what? That's what's going to come out more. But if we put more in the spirit, when the flesh stands up, the spirit will slap you back down. Oh, no, you don't win this one. go against the laws and the command of God is because we're allowing the flesh to overtake. Amen. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up. Watch this, in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Love does no wrong to others. And you say you love, but you show up backstabbing your brother and sister. You love, but you trying to tear them down. Kill the character. Destroy them. But you say you love. Love does no wrong to others. Right here. Love does no wrong to others. Love is not going to have you talking any kind of way to others. I see y'all alone tonight. Love is not going to have you talking any kind of way to others. We say we love, but our actions show differently. Well, our actions show differently. Love shows love. It shows us. It shows what it is. It shows what it does. Love. Can we say, really say we love one another? And the next minute, you're trying to destroy. That's not love. We are to love, watch this, even our enemies. God is not playing in this thing called love. Don't you know he loved the enemy? He loved his enemies? Y'all, do you really know he loved his enemies? Come on, do y'all really know God loved his enemies? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world that he became his enemy. He loved his enemy so that he gave his only begotten Son. Come on now, if he did that for the world, what makes you think we are supposed to do for our enemies? Matthew 5. Go back to Matthew chapter number 5. Don't show me. I'm not making it up. It's in the Word. Matthew chapter number 5, verses 44 and 45. I'm not making it up. I'm going to go to 43. I'm going to start with 43. Matthew chapter number 5. Verse 43, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor. You heard it. This is Jesus talking now. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. you heard some stuff. But Jesus said, no. I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as a true child or true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just as well as unjust alike. Look at what he's saying. You got to love both. You got to love your enemies, because he reigns. He sends sunshine on the evil and the good. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Come on, talk. You got you think, okay, since you're evil, okay, when it starts shining, when the sun starts shining, it's just going to shine down on the ones that's right. I'm so glad. Come on, you ought to be glad too. Because the sun would be shining on you. Come on, you ought to be glad. That it just don't shine on the just. Or rain on the just. Because it wouldn't be shining or raining on us. Because all of us have done some evil to us. Come on. So how in the world can you try to look at somebody else and do their so wrong? And what are they doing? When you've done just as wrong. And what? If God allowed it, then I know he can, and he did it, and he said, okay, I'm going to let the sun shine on righteous ones and not on the evil. And you walk around, no sun shining, no left energy, but you walk around trying to act like you're so perfect, that you're so holy, that you got everything together, but there's no sun ever shining on you. God just exposed you to be the liar that you are. Come on. It's going to come out. It will do it. What? We try to act like we are so together, like we got it right so much now. Because we know the Bible verse. Because we sing in the choir or preach in the bosom prayer. We act like we got it together now. Come on. God said, look, I shine my sun on the evil just as well as the good. I rain on the just as well as the unjust, the same thing. Come on, you don't get the same effect. Let me see if I can give you an example. Let me see if I can give you an example. A lot of folks, you understand something about sports. Understand something about sports. In different arenas and different places, they have certain things. If you go out and it's 20 degrees, come on here. Don't you think the team is afraid? Still got to play on that field. God is not going to let your side be dry and the other side cold. Y'all ain't talking. I raise on the just as well as the unjust. You got to play in the same temperature that they got to play in. There's still advantage. It doesn't matter for that you stay in the area. You still don't have an advantage. You still got to go out and play on the same field that the opponent has to play on. Cold is cold. I don't care where it is. If it's raining, it's not just going to rain on the defensive side of the two. Come on, they talk about going to different arenas in basketball, and they have the ice up underneath, the cooling system up underneath, and they see it all for purpose. Don't you think they got to play on that same court?
Yes.
If it's cold for you, it's cold for them.
Yes.
What if you think their side gonna be dry when you switch sides? Y'all ain't talking. So you get the same effect. God's power rains on the just as well as the unjust. If you're in the same town and the hurricane comes through, it's going to affect you. Come on. If you have to evacuate, the whole town has to evacuate. That's for everybody. time it may not hit your particular area, but you still feel the effects of what everybody else is feeling. And sometimes God will allow more damage to occur or happen in certain areas. Y'all ain't talking. Just to see how you will come together. Y'all listening? Because a lot of times when things, when disasters hit, that's the time folks come together. Oh, we come together. We need your help. Now you shall. You need somebody to help you. That's not you want to come together. But watch, as soon as you get everything back together, they're going to hate me. You know, if you don't want to love, I'm going to make you love. I'm going to make you feel for them. I'm going to make you help them out. I'm going to keep you on your toes. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He said, in the way that you will be acting as true children of God for the Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He gives it to both. The evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just as well as the unjust. If you love only those who love you, what reward is that for you? Even the corrupt patch collectors do that much. If you are kind and also to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is. You know, folk, drunks do so love better than we do. Drug addicts show love better than we do as children of God. Y'all ain't talking. Because a drug addict will get out there and share his crap rock. A drunk will share his liquor. We won't share nothing. We want to try to get it all. It don't matter what. They can sit out there and drink and fight. The next thing you know, they still fighting. They still drinking. Somebody look at us wrong. I ain't coming back. I ain't doing nothing. They want to get some look. They'll put their money together to get it. I ain't giving them nothing. Why I got to get my money for them? Always. Never want to put in. But you love. How is it that you love, but you never want to give? You love, but you never want to help. You say you love the Lord, but you never give to him. Oh, my bad. Excuse me. Rewind. I'm sorry. Yes, you do give to him. You do give to him. You give him a lot of excuses. Why you can't give? My bad. I'm sorry, y'all. I messed that one up. You know? My bad. Yeah. You do give. You like that one. Yeah. You do give. But you give all kind of excuses to God, the one you say you love. You give all kinds of excuses as to why you can't do in the kingdom. Well, I came to this because I'm on a speech income. What if you didn't have it in your period? I say it all the time. He's fixing that you can have something. Y'all ain't talking. house, when a mature, they need to go to, they need to get a uniform for this little pageant that they got to go in and be in. Well, I can't do this because I got to go out of town. This and that going on. I got to go check on this and this and that. We got so many excuses that we give God. And then turn around, God, if you just bless me. We give him excuses, but you want him to give you the material. Come on. But we love. We say we love, huh? We say we love him. We say we adore him. What greater love can we show than our offer than to offer others the way of salvation? We can offer something. Show folks the way of salvation. While we need to be personal workers, to fulfill the commandment of Christ, to show our love for others, and to be like the early church. I don't want to be like that early church. That means I sure enough got to work. Huh? To be like the Lord's church, we must follow the pattern of congregation, organization. We don't want to be organized. We just want to be out of this. We want to just be disorderly. We don't want nothing organized. You just won't come up and pop up, okay, this has no organization whatsoever. There has to be some organization. You have certain assignments. You have certain ministries, certain places in which you are a part of. There has to be some organization. You can't be trying to tell somebody else what to do if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Say that again, dude. You say that again. I'm talking about you so smart and somebody else's hearing it and yours is torn up from the floor. There's no organization in your ministry. But you're trying to tell somebody else about that. I would do this just without. Get yours straight. Get yours in order. Come on. What happened to the organization and what you're over? But we are so smart with everybody else. Come on. You can't even write out a report right. That's good, God. Come on. We can't even fill out the reports properly. So we try to tell somebody else how to operate, what to do with their hands. Come on, I'm talking. We are so smart, we're ignorant. We got to be able to have some organization. Y'all still on the radio? How is it that we are so smart and there's nothing progressing in our ministry? If we were so smart, folks say I know how to do this, I know how to do that, I know how to do everything, I've done this before, I've done that before. You've done so much to have nothing done on this ministry. somebody must be missing something. You know, you've done so much to have nothing done in ministry. Well, who you did it with? What you do with that? What was the outcome? Is it the same outcome as it is now in your particular area? Because it is. Come on. That's why we got to have organization. There has to be some organization. Not only must there be organization, but there has to be a place of worship and work. You just don't come to worship, but you come to work. If you work, where you at? It will be a whole lot better. All you got to do is work where you are. It will be progress. There will be some progression. Okay, go back, just rewind in your mind just for us right here. Look, rewind in your mind and look at your particular ministry. Rewind and see where they are now compared to where they were 3 years ago. 5 years ago. Do you have the same thing? Is it the same? Is it the same? Come on. If it's the same, if we know so much, why haven't there been any progression? See, this is how we get us to think on individual basis, or it's for ourselves and not for everybody else. What progression has been made in your particular ministry? Not only in your particular ministry, but in your particular life. Look at your life. What progression have you made? Are you still barking the same bark that you barked 7 years ago, and it's still the same bark today? Come on. I'm going to do better. I'm teaching. It's the same bark. And we come with the same results. Come on. I've said it. I've mentioned it. I've tried to encourage people along the way. If we keep on doing the same thing, by this time next year, we will still be in the same place. A lot of folks say the devil is a lie, but has proved the devil to be a liar here. Because we still fall behind and time is moving along. We start but never finish. I'm going to do this. All right. I'm going to do that. All right. Throw it. I'm a dub. All right. But never completed. We start assignments, start tasks, but never completed. Then we get to the place of where we're supposed to have things when it's time for certain events. Then we turn around and say we've done our best, but our best hasn't been good enough because we still have the same old God. So now my life is still the same, but I'm barking the same way. Come on. That's what we got to do. We said we're going to start fundraisers and never finish.
Something for
Absalom saying, look, I got to do work for him because he kept me when I should have been gone a long time ago. So now I've got to make this thing personal and do the work for his kingdom because of what he's done for me. Yeah. If he's done something for you, if he hasn't done an education for you, look, I understand. I understand. I wouldn't go do nothing. If he ain't did nothing for me, I understand. Look, if he ain't wake you up this morning, I understand. Don't go do nothing. If he ain't provide food for you or pay for you, if he ain't did nothing, don't worry about it. Don't do nothing. If he has to breath in you, don't you worry about it. Don't do nothing. But if he did all that you have done, you ought to be saying to yourself tonight, look, I can slap you, but recently, I'm getting ready to do the work for the kingdom because of what God has done for me. When I was almost about to lose my mind, he came to put my mind back together. That's something that you were going to work for. If you were down with your feet there and now you were walking, that's something for you to go and do some work for. If you were lying, if you were doing some work for yourself, that's something for you to get up and do some work for. I'm wondering if I got anybody in here that says, I'm ready to go and do the works of the Lord because of all that he's done and for me.
Hey, thank you, Lord. I dropped out, but I got to drop back
in. You know, I'm going to drop down and say it. I can't do it myself. Look at him. He's trying to drop back in. Time to drop back in. Look, why you got a chance?
Skeleton, all of them bones. You have no activities, you can't do anything.
Somebody got to pick you up and show you and take you to another place because you have nothing on you. Just follow. But they can't come back together. If you begin to speak over. Those places in your life where you just became a skeleton, I dare you to just smoke it. Speak life over. And it will live again. Because of the territory. We need to be perfect because of the territory of the Lord. This serves to motivate the Apostle Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'm telling you, this is good. I understand why we had to go back and do this. This is right on time. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11. I'm going to go back to verse 6. So we are always confident in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 6. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not seeing. We live by believing and not seeing. Yet we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies to be able to be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. That's our goal, to please the Lord. Watch verse 10. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve. For the good or evil, watch this, we have done in this earthly body. You don't get what you deserve when you stand before the Lord. That whatever you committed in this body, your neighbor can't take it for you. Now, you're going to get it for yourself. We don't get what we deserve for the evil and good, evil or good. Now, he said, he's raining on the just as well on the unjust, the sun shine on the evil as well as the good. We don't get whatever evil or whatever good we did in this earthly body. We don't get what we deserve. You did some good, you don't get what you deserve. You did some evil, you won't get what you deserve. There's no running from it. Because running from it will not save you. Paul ain't talking. We, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Now, I'm not just doing this just to do this. I'm doing this because it's my assignment, it's my task. I'm sincere about what I'm doing, and I hope you know it too. This that I give you from the Lord. Not for my own personal gain. But to help us get to where we need to be in His presence. It's what we got to do. You got to be sincere in what you do. Because guess what? If you're not, you don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you deserve. God knows if you're sincere, if you're doing it for any reason, whatever your motives are. He knows. Yeah, He knows. Mm-hmm. think we, some people think they get away with some stuff. Come on, saints, it's time out for these nasty attitudes. Say it again. Say it again. Now, running for away. You're going to get what you deserve. Huh? Why? Because you're strong. You got some strength. Come on, because it's two different types. There's some that are strong and some that are weak. And a lot of times, folk pray over the weak, just like when the lion gets ready to go running, they don't hope for the strong one. They hope for the ones that are weak. So now, if I'm praying over one that is weak, and I start saying stuff, and that individual is weak, guess what? I ran them off because they can't handle it. But what? When you run them off, you're going to get what you deserve.
And this is
is what God is saying to us. He's sick of it. Look what he said, verse chapter number 7 of Matthew, verse number 1. Do not judge others. Do not judge others. And you will not be judged. Well, the reason why people are looking at you the way they're looking at you is because you're looking at others the way you're looking at them. You saying stuff about other people that folks are saying about you. Come on. You're judging, so folks are judging you. Are you there? It's right here. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. So you get upset when somebody comes and judges you. But it's all right for you to go and judge others. Y'all ain't talking. You see everything wrong with everybody else. But there ain't nothing wrong with you when folks tell you what's wrong with you. To read what's you. Y'all ain't talking. Now, what? Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. You're going to be treated the way you treat others. As a person thinking, so is he. Why are you getting treated the way you get treated? Why people don't hang around you? I'm talking. I'm trying to do the best I can. Why people don't want to speak to you? Because what you're treating, you're talking to people, and what you're doing to people. Why people don't want to help you? You don't want to help somebody else. Why are you going through the things that you're going through? Because the way you are treating others. Why hellhounds are always on your ear? Because you're giving somebody else a deal all the time. Why are you crying all the night? You're making somebody else cry. For you to treat it as you treat other. It's right here. Folks just don't like reading it, but it's right here. The standard you choose in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. The standard you put on, that's the standard that you will be judged by. Now, you think you're so high and mighty? That's the same judgment that's going to be cast on you. Come on. And why worry about a speck to the friend's eye when you have a dog in yours? See, that's why the church is messed up. Why the kingdom is messed up. You worry about a speck in somebody else's eye. Well, you got a whole dog in yours. How can you think of friend to your friend? Just help you get rid of your speck in your eye. Well, you can't see past the dog in your own. How can you go and try to help somebody else when your life is just as jacked up? You know what you are? You don't even know where to start. You can't keep praying. You don't even know how to open up. First, get rid of that law. It's a long time. And you will see well enough to deal with respect in your prayer time. Deal with your own problem. Deal with your own issue. Why don't you get delivered first? Before you go around trying to deliver somebody else. Why don't you get delivered from lying? Why don't you get delivered from gossiping? Why don't you get delivered from being a real good body? Already talking. Why don't you get delivered from being a yes? Why don't you get delivered from being a cheater or a super still? Why don't you get delivered before you go to try to get somebody else delivered?
Too much value to keep giving my word.
That's why we gotta take things personal. And if we begin to take things personal, we'll refuse to allow the kingdom to go down. As we begin to do what God has called us to do, go out making disciples. Amen. Look, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. God bless you. God keep you. Heaven's power. Pray. We thank those on Wonderful Broadcast Radio tonight. And we also thank God for those who tuned in via Facebook Live tonight, and we also thank God for those tuned in to that's here on campus tonight. We thank God for you and for all that He's done and what He's still doing. Look, Matthew chapter number 7 is powerful. A lot of people don't want to hear about it, a lot of people don't want to deal with it, but it's powerful for the kingdom. And we wonder why we're going through what we're going through. Understand Matthew chapter number 7. And when we grasp it, then we'll understand. There has to be a change. And change is a change until I change. And you gotta want to change. See, if you don't, you will still be in the same predicament that you're in now. Another 5 years from now. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Now, right now, we'll get it in a minute, but I want to thank you, Gloria, Pastor Sanders. We see you on that time. Lady Wright, she's on tonight. I see people, Brother Dempsey, he's on. Roger, some of my colleagues, I see you on tonight. Pebbles Barrel, we see that you're on tonight. Some people have taken on and looking at now. We thank God for you coming on and tuning in with us. And we thank with something that we said and that will be helpful and beneficial to you all tonight to be a better person and be better characters in the kingdom of God. So we thank you for tuning in. Look, we'll be back again next week. Amen. It's this segment as we continue on in our Bible enrichment. We hope that you come back and tune in with us and share with us in this segment. We thank you. God bless you. Heaven's smile upon you is our prayer.